Some people would think, well, what do you got to dance about? We always look to the cross when we find something to dance and shout and be excited about. I want us to all work on something. The ladies here don't have the easiest task in the world because we haven't made that transition to live musicians and all that kind of thing. So they sing to CDs with other people, with Clint Brown singing in the background and all that kind of stuff. Not the easiest thing to do in the world. But they stay prayed up and they come here and they practice every week. And so what we're going to do, when you come in here, you got to come in here with your game face on. You need to come in already have decided that you're going to praise God, that you're going to worship God, and that you're already getting in that mindset and that mode before my wife even comes up with the microphone. We're playing music up here because we need to be listening and thinking about God and getting ready to rock and roll. So as soon as it's time to praise and worship Him, your spirit is already uplifted and ready to go. Their job is not to convince you into worship. Their job is to set the atmosphere that you can worship in if you've already decided to do so. Amen? So do your pastor a favor. Let's just work on that a little bit. I know we like to fellowship, and fellowship is a good thing. But just at a certain point in time, just start gathering yourselves and getting in the seats and trying to make it on time. We start at 10:30. Amen? Amen. I want to make a quick announcement for the board members. Remember that we have a meeting in the hospitality room right after service. And next Sunday, right before I preach, I'm going to install the elders and I two deacons. Brother Keith Butcher will be one. And Brother Steve Jenkins will be the other. Amen. I'm sure down the road we'll have more elders and we'll have more deacons, but this is where we're starting with. And as Bishop Jamie says, if you don't have elders and deacons, well, I'm going to try to do it. If you don't have elders and deacons, then you're not a church. Mm-hmm. So praise God that we've seen that people are being promoted and just be in prayer for those men as they accept that responsibility, all right? Well, if you have your Bibles, let's go together to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. And we will start with verse 23. When you find that, say amen. Amen. And the Word of God reads, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.'" No, I'm not going to preach on money, so let the walls come down. Verse 24 says, "And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When His disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, now this is what I want you to focus in on, "With men this is impossible," say impossible, "but with God all things are possible." Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Next book over. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, "Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I'm going to talk to you on this subject today. Mission impossible. Mission impossible. In 1866, Ohio adopted this first motto to be incorporated into the state seal. The motto was short-lived, and as a result, Ohio went without a motto for the next 91 years. It wasn't until 1958, at the urging of a 12-year-old Cincinnati boy, that Ohio's current state motto, "With God, all things are possible," was adopted. In 1997, the ACLU filed a lawsuit against the state of Ohio, saying that they were violating the church and state, and worked toward trying to get us to change our motto. And it was overturned by the Supreme Court, and we, yes, amen, and we maintained our state motto, "With God, all things are possible." We are only one of five states in the union that have God in their state motto. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that historically two things that were thought to be absolutely impossible happened by men who were born in the state of Ohio. That the Wright brothers, when everyone said nobody would ever build anything that would be able to fly, defied conventional wisdom and did the impossible and built an airplane that flew, revolutionized the world by doing so, and they were from Ohio. Then people said no one will ever be able to step on the moon. There's still some folks out there that still believe nobody has ever been on the moon. That's something that they conjured up in a studio somewhere. But those people usually like 87 or so. But Neil Armstrong from Ohio was the first man to step on the moon. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that we are sitting here today in a state where a 12-year-old boy made a prophetic decree with God, "All things are possible." I don't think it's an accident that the ACLU, prompted by Satan himself, would try to silence that motto because he didn't want to hear it anymore. But God upheld it to make sure that we understand that in the state of Ohio, our motto is, "With God, all things are possible." Now, I know you think words are just words, but words have power. We sit here in a church planted in a city whose motto is Piqua, where vision becomes reality. And most of us thumb our nose at that motto and say, "Not this place." And it will never be a place where vision becomes reality if we don't believe it is a place where vision becomes reality. You remember that old show, Mission Impossible? So did y'all wake up? That old show, Mission Impossible, and even Tom Cruise is on like his fourth movie. They filming it now, Mission Impossible. And every week, these guys, these secret agents will have these ridiculous missions that they were asked to accomplish. And every week you would think there's no way they're going to be able to pull that one off. And by the end of every episode, no matter how impossible the mission was, they accomplished the mission. Where did we get this notion that when God calls you to do something, he's going to call you to do something possible? God never calls you to do anything that you can do without him. If God calls you to do something, God is always going to call you to do something that the first thought in your mind is going to be, "That's impossible." But with God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? No, you don't.
with God, all things. If we believe that with God, all things are possible, what would we do? Wouldn't you go back to school instead of being so afraid? Wouldn't you start the business instead of being so afraid? Wouldn't you start the ministry that you're too afraid to start? Wouldn't you get involved in the causes that you're too afraid to get involved in? If you truly believe that with God, all things are possible and God is in you, wouldn't you be doing great things right now for the kingdom of God? If you truly believe with God, all things are possible. I'm here to tell you that this is always going to be a church where we're going to shoot for something impossible, because if you're not shooting for something impossible, you're not shooting for God's will. With God, all things are possible. So Jesus gives us this parallel. We see for man, something can be impossible. But it doesn't say for God, it says with God, all things are possible. And then he, in a separate scripture, he says that if you can believe, all things are possible for them that believe. Believing then is the bridge that crosses us from the impossibilities of man to the limitless possibilities of God. That if I can believe God, then nothing will be impossible for me, because it's impossible by myself, but with God, all things are possible. So the battle for the believer is to truly be a believer. Because we think being a believer is just when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. So therefore, the battle for everyone in this room is, will you believe God? When God speaks to you, He's always going to speak something impossible. And the question is going to be, are you going to believe it? Are you going to let fear and doubt and unbelief govern your life and you sit somewhere with a Bible that you don't believe nothing about anyhow? If somebody say amen so I don't feel like I'm up here by myself, because I just read a scripture that's challenging you and I to believe. These scriptures were not written for us to have something to talk about on Sunday. These scriptures were written so that we can look at the examples of people who heard God say something stupid, crazy, ridiculous, made no sense, and all they could do was believe it. And because they believed it, it happened. Why does the average church have do anything? Why does the average believer ever half accomplish anything? Because we're always trying to accomplish what we can accomplish without God. When my wife and I stepped out in faith, we had so many seasoned believers, people who've been saved for, people that got saved in the Apostle Paul crusade, been saved for so long that you think would encourage us, that you think would pump us up, that you think would say it's awesome that God has called you to preach and you're going to step out of faith and lead 13 years in the military. Most of those people say, why would you do that? That's crazy. And I say, that's what I feel God's telling me to do. Are you sure? Yeah, I've been over and over and over. Then I'm sure that this is what God is calling me to do. And then they will say, well, I just think that's crazy. Another 7 years, you can have a retirement. That's what you think. But I decided when I got saved, the question was going to be, am I going to believe God? Am I just going to go to church? Am I going to believe God and just do the impossible? Or am I just going to always look for the safe route? Well, I made up my mind that I was going to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come hell, come high water, good days, bad days, when I mess up and when I'm doing fine, I'm going to keep following Jesus Christ all the way. And if you're going to follow Jesus, so at some point in time, He's going to speak something to you that's going to shake up your world, that's going to shake up your reality, that's going to shake up your belief system. And you're going to have to ask yourself, do I believe God? At some point in time, that's going to happen. And we ooh and we ah over the great, incredible Christians that we read about in books. And we ooh and we ah and we gush over the great ministries that we see on television. But then when it comes to us, we don't think we can do anything. Well, I'm here to tell you we can. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Where did you get this idea? I'm wondering that God just wants you to do what's possible so that you can get the credit. I don't know what it is about God and this whole, because he created the whole universe and he's so powerful and whatnot, that he thinks he ought to get the glory. He thinks he ought to get the attention. He thinks he ought to get the focus and not you. Religion puts the focus on you. Religion puts the focus on tradition, on what you can do, on the rules you can keep, on the laws you can keep, the bylaws of the church, the vote you can vote. But I'm telling you that the kingdom of God operates by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you got a pastor up here that's up here for no other thing than faith. And you're going to have to follow me as I follow Christ. And you're going to have to stir up in yourself some faith in this season. He always calls you to an impossible mission. When did God ever call? Did he call Noah to do something that Noah could do without him? Did he call Joshua to do something he could do without him? Did he call David to do something he could do without him? Did he call the apostles to do what they did without him? Everything that God calls you to do, he's always going to make it such a huge, grandiose, crazy thing that you might not ever get rich from doing it. You might not ever get famous from doing it. But you believe me, brothers and sisters, you can't do it without God. God wants to fill you with his spirit and with his power, and he wants to use you as an instrument of glory in the earth so that this earth can see that there is a God in heaven and there is a God in earth. What's the point of another church on a church on a block? It's churches on every block. But if we're going to be another church on the street, then I don't want nothing to do with that. But if we're going to be a church that rises up in faith and says we might not have nothing, we might not be educated, we might not be the greatest, most prestigious people in the world, but what we are is people who believe God, and because we believe God, nothing will be impossible for us. Where do you kids and youth get this idea that when you dream and it is supposed to be about you? God put the dream on the inside of you. God put the desire for you to go. Why don't you ask God what college you ought to go to? Why don't you ask God what he's called you to be? Why don't you get plugged into the power of God while you 13, 14, 15 years old? Why don't you learn from your parents who didn't have to get divorced or own drugs and all kinds of nonsense because they rebelled against God? How about you believe God right here, right now? David was a teenager when he slew Goliath. Mary was a teenager when she gave birth to Christ. What you believe has everything to do with everything. What you believe. What you believe about God. What you believe about yourself. What you believe about life. It don't matter what people say about you. It don't matter what people say you can do. It only matters what God says and whether or not you will believe him. Who says what somebody white can do, or somebody black can do, or what a woman can do, or what a man can do, or you can't do this because you're from Piqua. You can only do this if you were from New York. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The only question is, did God say it? And if he said it, the battle is the good fight of faith.
faith? Will I believe what God said on a good day? Will I believe what He said on a bad day? Will I believe God when it looks like it? Will I still believe Him when it doesn't look like it? Will I believe God when the devil attacks me? Will I believe God when I fail? Will I get back up and keep believing God until I see what God spoke come to pass?
Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Y'all know this scripture. Chapter 3, verse 20. Are you there? Now to Him who is able. Stop right there. Look at me. We'll get back there. To Him who is able. We don't battle with that too much, do we? If I asked you, can God do something great? Is He able to do that? Oh yes, Pastor, God is able. If I asked you, is God able to heal? You say, oh yes, Pastor, God is able. If I asked you, is God able to bless you despite your education and your circumstances and still be able to bless you with success? Oh yes, Pastor, God is able. Scripture goes on and says He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ever ask or think. Then you would say, yes, Pastor, I believe beyond what I could even think to ask God, He's able to do. But this is where we struggle. He does it according. He does it according to something. We always quote that scripture and stop there. Now, to Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all He can ever ask or think, and we start shouting, but it didn't stop there. It says, according to the power that is at work in us. We like to say two extremes. Either I'm going to do great things for God, like God passively sits back and say, do something great for me. Or we say, it's not me, it's all God. Can I tell you something? We co-labor with Christ. We co-labor. The Holy Spirit is sent to help us. That means that what God speaks to me will be impossible. I will be unable to do it without Him, but with God, all things are possible. And so there's a power, Jesus. There is a power that is working on the inside of you, and it is the Holy Spirit of God, and one of His assignments is to empower and equip you to do the will of God over your life. What do you think the Holy Spirit's there to do? Were you speaking tongues? Huh? He's here to equip and empower you to do the will of God. Has anybody in here ever asked God, what's your will for my life? Has anybody got the courage to step out and say, I'm going to do what God called me to do? Is anybody in this room? Because see, all I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start preaching to the atmosphere. I'm going to start preaching to the balcony. I'm going to start preaching because the church is going to make it with or without you. And so whether I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you that it's all or nothing now. I done stepped out of the boat. I done made a decision. I'm going to give my all to this thing. It's going to work or it ain't going to work. God is with me. The authority of God is on me. The anointing of God is on me, and I'm going to preach what I preach, whether you clap, whether you shout, whether you amen, because I'm putting it out in the atmosphere, and it's going to draw into this house people who want to see more than salvation. They want to see transformation, and they want to fulfill their destiny.
I'm here to agitate you and shake some things up and disturb you and frustrate you and make you uncomfortable, because I'm not just going to let you sit in a pew and be religious and act like the same thing day in and day out. I'm going to challenge you to grow. I'm going to challenge you to believe God. I'm going to challenge you to step out in faith and do what you got deep in your heart to do. Because if all we going to do is come to church, let's scatter and go to another church. Let's give them the money that's in the bank and say, you use this, brother, to do something mighty for the kingdom of God. Let's just go sit someplace else and yawn and sleep and be bored and look at the pastor cross-eyed. Let's just go someplace else to do that. But if you want to do something that makes a difference, if you want to do something where the world steps back and says, how was that possible? And they can look at your life and say, with God, all things are possible. With God.
Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm telling you, my family and I had a crossroad. That's what I'm telling you. I've been here. I have to make the decision. It was a clear decision. It was going to be, I can stay in the military. I can stay in Las Vegas. I could get a position on staff at the church I was going to. They helped me go to seminary. They give me my own service. I had a deacon call me and throw all that out for me and say, well, why would you want to get out and leave and do all? You just stay here and we got something for you. We put you on staff. So I had to ask myself at that point in time, are you going to always deep inside wonder what it would be like if you had to believe God and stay in comfort and smile and amen while deep inside something churns that says there's more than this? And I decided I'm going to do the real deal. God, it's beyond tithing for me. It's like I'm going to step out here with a wife and four kids and we're going to drive from the West Coast to the Midwest with nothing, believing that you're going to provide, that I heard your voice in a tent in Saudi Arabia, that you said there'll be a true vine church, that I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe you when it looks like it, and I'm going to believe you when it doesn't look like it. I'm going to believe it no matter what people say. I'm going to believe it until I see it come to pass. Now you sitting in something called True Vine that was here. Now it's out. And now that it's out, what are we going to do with it? Because the goal wasn't just to be a pastor. The goal is to lead people, to create an environment where God can be glorified, to create an environment where people can get saved, to create an environment where people's lives are changed, to create an environment where people, no matter whether you've been beat down, lied on, talked about, whether you've been molested, left and divorced, mistreated, that something on the inside of you, when you sit up in this environment, starts to shake and rumble, and you start thinking about stuff that when you was 8 years old, you dreamed about doing, and you start dreaming again. Because the dream that God put in your heart, He put in your heart because of purpose. Whether it's athletics, whether it's entertainment, whether it's medicine, whether whatever it is, God put it in you when you were in your mother's womb. He wrapped it up in you. Destiny. Purpose. Something more than clocking in and clocking out. And going home. And counting down to Friday. It's Monday. It's Tuesday. It's hump day. It's hump day. We're on the hump. It's Thursday. We're almost there. One more day. It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. TGIF. What you gonna do on the weekend? I'm gonna get drunk and high and try to forget about the boredom and the misery of my life until Monday.
What you gonna do on Monday? Start the whole cycle all over again. Till Friday, then I'm gonna get tore up from the floor up. Then I'm gonna get high, get blowed. I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna do anything I can to forget about the mundane existence. To try to dumb myself down and nullify myself to the point I forget about when I was 10 what I wanted to be. Did I forget about that I want to own my own business? That I feel I have the talent and the gift to do? I'm going to numb myself. And try to forget about it. I'm going to go to a church. I'm going to find me a church where they're going to have a song service. And they're going to have a nice little polite preacher. And they're just going to talk about little scriptures. He's going to tell you about the blood of Jesus again over and over and over every Sunday. And we ain't never going to talk about destiny and purpose and stuff. And I'm just going to follow a bunch of rules. And then I'm going to die and go to heaven and see Jesus one day. When I always ask the question, what you gonna go see Jesus for? You don't believe that Jesus could do nothing else, but you believe he saved you. Well, why would you believe that? You believe that for what reason? You don't believe nothing else. We're supposed to be believers. That means that we're supposed to, on a regular, continual basis, believe God for something.
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's a principle we can learn from there. God does things. The Bible says that the heavens declare his glory. So God does things in such a way that when you look at it, you can't say it was man-made. That's what God wants to do with your life. God wants to do things so incredible, unusual, and supernatural in your life that when you tell people about it, they will look at you and go, that's impossible. And you say, that's correct, but with God all things are possible. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. When they look at your life, it's like looking at the sun. And you look at the sun and you go, there has to be a God. When people hear your testimony, they should go, there has to be a God. There's no way that that happened. There's no way that that occurred. There's no way that you accomplished that on your own. Were we excited about Peter riding in the boat? But we'd be talking till Jesus comes back about how he stepped out of it. How he stepped out and walked on the water. That's one of my favorite stories because it's so typical of us to get in something man-made and do only what's possible. But then when that storm hit, Peter and those guys saw Jesus doing something supernatural. Walking on water. Now he can't be but maybe 150 pounds, I guess. I don't know. Maybe even more. I know he's probably less than 200 pounds. All he ate was fish and stuff. And so if you're in the middle of a storm, wouldn't you blow away? No, you wouldn't. This is a storm. It's tossing the boat up and down. And he just walking on the water, unaffected by the wind. Unaffected by the waves, just walking, doing what's impossible. And then something in Peter looks out there and says, I want that. Instead of crashing around in this man-made thing that ain't gonna get me anywhere anyhow, something in Peter said, you know what? Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And he said, come. So now he knows that's the will of God. Now, why would God tell him to step out and drown? But he invited him to come out of the natural and do the supernatural. And when he stepped out of the boat, he started walking on the water as long as he was focusing on Jesus, because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. But when he started looking at the wind and the waves, something in him said, wait a minute, this is impossible. No, no, all things are possible to them that believe. So when he was believing, he was walking. But when he started thinking this is impossible, and he started thinking, how can I do this? I'm just a man. Then he started to sink. Now, what you stepped out in faith to do that you long since forgot about was you stepping out in faith. But somewhere down the line, when everybody starts saying, you're too stupid to go back to school and get a master's, you start looking at the wind and the wave. You forgot God said that you're going to get that master's. And you start looking at all the things men say. Then you start looking at your circumstances. Then you start looking at how your life falling apart. Then you start looking at how you can't pay your bills. So you spend every day looking at all that stuff. And more and more and more, you're just drowning in worry, in doubt, in fear, and in unbelief. But can I tell you today that Jesus wants to snatch you back up out of that water, speak faith to you once again, stir the faith up in you once again, so that you can move by faith and do what you couldn't do without Him. See, I'm going to put it out in the atmosphere. And like I said, as long as I put it out in the atmosphere, some of you will get it, some of you going to run. But somebody going to come in here and see their lives change. I've already seen people come in here, get saved, get baptized, lives change, go back to school and start doing stuff that they dreamed about years ago. There's an anointing in here for salvation, transformation, and destiny. I'm not called to be the average pastor, and this ain't the average church, and if you want to be average, be average. But if you want some faith to stir up today, you let the anointing get deep down inside of you and you believe God again. God wants you to be a declaration of His glory. When did the church get to the place that we can't do anything but what man can do? When have we ever been called to just do what some of you sitting here right now got all the talent in the world, and somewhere down the line when you was walking on the water, you start looking at the wind and the waves and you start sinking, and now you sitting there hiding your little gift, hiding your little skill, because you already made up. You're just going to come to church and sit there. But I don't understand church like that. It don't make sense to me. Because if you're not going to live all out for it, I ain't saying I don't make mistakes. I'm saying after I make them, I get back up. And I keep walking and I keep following Jesus. Because I've already understood something. There ain't nothing else but God. You can see the spirits get all tangled up and mad. People get all frowned up and crazy. And it don't matter to me whatsoever, because the anointing of God is here. And I'm telling you, I know what I know, that we are in a season where God wants to stir your faith back up. God wants you to start believing again. God wants you to start dreaming again. God's going to do some crazy, ridiculous, unheard of, supernatural stuff right now. Ever since I was a kid, deacon, I've always found myself in a room somewhere dreaming. Asking myself, why is it only certain people get to do what they like to do for a living? Why is it only a select group of people, athletes and stars and a politician or two, that actually dream something and actually sees their dreams come true? Why is it that everybody else is just deep down inside, in denial, frustrated, disgruntled, and going someplace they can't stand to be, to make a paycheck, so because they got to keep a roof over their head and clothes on their back and shoes on their feet? Since I was a kid, I thought it's got to be more to life than that. It's got to be more than life. I'm not saying that you won't have to do a job that you don't want to do. That builds character. But I'm saying at some point in time, God wants you to do what He created you to do, what you were born to do. And my job is to preach and to teach things that is going to equip you to do the work of your ministry.
not gather a bunch of people to watch me do mine, but to equip you to do yours. Who says you going back to school is impossible? Who said that? Your daddy, your mama, your friends, or God? What? It's time to silence all the voices around you and start listening to what God is saying to you. What is God saying to you? What do you think a prophetic decree? Why is it that all this time we have prayer lines, and how many of you even remember what I said? You got to admit, I've been there. Where you get up in a prayer line and it was, oh, he said this, and you're going to this, and you're going to accomplish that. And by Wednesday, you can't even remember what God said. Prophecy and gifts of the Spirit and all that is not for us to get a goosebumps and excited and say we had a good service. I could care less about a good service. What's a good service anyway? Most of you done seen stuff, people fall out, shaking, quivering. Did your life change? No. It's just a memory. All of these things are for God to speak in the atmosphere and find faith. And when he finds someone who will just believe him. All God asked Moses about the children of Israel when they would not go into the promised land is, why won't they believe me? Some of you have been married 3 times because of what you believe. You believe that you were nothing, nobody. You believe that you, whatever someone said that you were. So you keep running up on somebody who's going to treat you just like you believe you ought to be treated. Most people will sit in a job. When I was in the post office, I would sit there and I would just marvel at the wasted potential. Because I had this thing where I could see the gifts of people. And I'll just be able to see that person. You're just gifted at this, that, and the other. And when you tell them, they just look at you like you're crazy. Me? Yeah. You. It's what you believe. Why is it that you will see sports and you'll see some people? I see some of the smallest, scrawniest little guy. This is some little guy. I forgot what team he was. I think Washington Redskins might have been. And he was returning punts, kick return, punt returner, which is probably the most dangerous job outside of a quarterback to do on the football field. Is you back here, and everybody got fire in their eyes all coming to get you. And not only that, but you got to know they coming and just be concentrating on the ball to make sure you catch it and then do what you're going to do. And sometimes you got to dive right in a pile of people in the hopes you'll break through it. And I seen this little guy, looked like he was in the 8th grade. And he's standing all the way back there at the 20-yard line. He catching the ball. And I'm telling you, the brother ain't just trying to get to the outside. He diving in the middle of people. Boom, 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 boom. Then he get back up, go to the sideline. That's because he believes he can do it. You know how many times a guy like that had to be told, you're too small to play football. You'll never make it in college. You'll never make it to the pros. And the whole time he just kept believing that he could do what he's doing, and he's doing it. Why do you think that's just got to be a small select group of people? We watched a movie last night called Secretariat about what people say the greatest racehorse of all time. And you know, you can't help but get inspired when you go to this movie. You'd even stay awake when you went to that movie. Because It's not because he's sleeping in here. He's going to sleep in a movie. Then be like, Keith, man, how you going to sleep in a movie? And it'll be a movie about something in history. He said, well, I already know what happened. You can't help but be inspired when you see this movie because, long story short, I'm just inspired by the horse, let alone the woman that was a housewife in like 1969 and
and she grew up on a horse farm, and her mother died, and she goes back to the horse farm, and her daddy is old, and I think he might have Alzheimer's, but they didn't even know what that was all about back then, and couldn't half remember anything. And something in this woman started to stir that she wanted this horse farm to continue, to survive. And against all odds, when everybody's telling her to let this go, drop it, you don't have a star horse. And she gets an opportunity to pick between these two colts. And she picked the one nobody else wanted. That's the one she wanted. And everybody thought, oh, you done lost. It's a coin toss they do to see which one you get. And they got the one that's really going to make it. And they laughing at her. She is unlucky as her daddy is what they said. This woman got to the place that she believed that this horse could run. And she would just say, just let him run. And this horse wins the triple crown. You see, he would always come from the back of the pack. And this happened in the 70s, but you know, I went watching horse racing. There's only, you know, nothing about this story. The horse is in the back of the pack, purposely. The jockey just get all muddy, and towards halfway through the race, secretary would always just come up on people. Next thing you know, boom, he's in the front, he wins the race. Now, he does this, and he wins the Kentucky Derby and whatever the other one is. That one, yeah. And then he's getting ready to be in the Belmont Stakes. And I'm watching this movie, and I'm acting like this just happened. You know, I'm like, I can't believe it. Now, this horse has thought to be no chance to beat this other horse, because this horse is thought to believe that it can run fast but can't have any distance. And this was the most distance that you could have in a horse race. And this horse don't start in the back of the pack this time. It's like this horse knew that this was what I was born to do. This, all my life I've been told I can't run. All my life I've been picked over and looked over, but I done won up to this point, and now I ain't getting in the back no more. That horse took off out of the gate and stayed nose to nose with this horse that was supposed to beat it. And next thing you know, the horse kicks into another gear, and he's up by 2 lengths, 3 lengths, 4 lengths, 5. At the end of it, he's up 30 horse lengths ahead of the pack and wins the race. I never wanted to get a horse's autograph. I wanted that horse's autograph. That horse. And then it was a guy in the audience, not at the movie, but in the movie, he's there when the horse is running, and he says, "That's impossible. Oh, I just want a place where people get to see you running, and they look at you, and they see what you do, and all the haters and all the doubters look at you, and God just said, run, just let them run." And everybody looked at your life and said, "That's impossible." Come on, stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise if you believe that it's time for you to run and stop believing what people say about you. Run, run, run. Yeah. Go and put some music on, so I'm gonna quit.